Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. As usual, we are here to talk about trends in finance and accounting. And my name is Anders Leo Lindberg, your usual host as well. Let's get over to this week's show. We're basically asking if your balance sheet is creating value. Sounds almost unfair to expect the balance sheet to create value on its own. And we had a few reactions already in the show notes before we got started. We had, for instance, Greg here. He commented, great point. Why do people ignore the balance sheet? I'm sure that if management owned the company and it was their capital, they would care a lot more about the balance sheet. Absolutely, because almost everything we do in a company needs to go through the balance sheet before it translates into cash that we can actually use for further growing the company or for distributing to owners. We also had Ian here. He said they might care more if they heard it described in a language which resonates with their world. That's a principle that applies to a lot of areas in finance. But perhaps the balance sheet message needs more creativity to find a way to cut through to other functions. And both Greg and Ian there commented on the fact that it said, no one cares about the balance sheet, but finance. And I love Ian's point about it needs to be communicated in a way that they understand. Actually, I'm just putting the final touches on the first draft of our new book, Communicating Financials to Executives, that will talk exactly about these issues, about how we as finance professionals can become much better at communicating our insights to people that don't necessarily understand finance. Okay, let's get into today's content. We asked the rhetorical question, is your balance sheet creating value? Have you ever heard the expression, it's on the balance sheet where the bodies are buried? The essence is that on companies' balance sheets, there are many postings, like accruals and provisions that cover up bad decisions you don't want to realize into the income statement. When I worked as a finance manager, I inherited one of those. It was a top-boat job that had gone wrong, and the client disagreed about who should pay. We had paid the bill and taken the expense, but we were hoping that one day we could convince the client to pay. 2 years after this incident, I got the role, and almost immediately, I wrote off the provision. No one believed anymore that we could get the client to pay. So why keep this body buried? Let's just get it out of there, right? Perhaps there's another reason for the expression. That's because only finance cares about and looks after the balance sheet. So it's easy for executives to hide a lot of bad stuff there and never think about it again. However, to run a business, you often need income generating assets and funding to get going. That builds up your balance sheet, adding working capital to the mix to run the company. So balance sheet doesn't have to be so mysterious when you think of it. Asset efficiency or balance sheet efficiency is also one of the four key value drivers for shareholder value creation. In this week's show, we will explore the underlying drivers of asset efficiency and discuss analyses and initiatives that finance professionals can implement. We will not examine all balance sheet items, but have highlighted some of the main ones. We have investments. So most companies invest in assets or develop intangible assets. There's typically a business case behind these investments, and many financial measures must be favorable to get a yes to investing. Then you have working capital. These are capital items closely related to your business operations, receivables, customers, payables to vendors, and inventory ready to be sold. Working capital is typically shown as the days it takes to convert a sale or purchase into cash in or outflows. Finally, we have debt and equity. This is the company's capital structure. Some are purely equity-based, such as early-stage startups, whereas others are heavily leveraged with debt, such as private equity-owned companies. Debt is usually cheaper than equity. Of course, there are no easy decisions here. Many key figures, such as debt-to-equity or solvency ratios, could be relevant to consider. There are countless optimization elements involved in the balance sheet drivers, and their use varies greatly from business to to business and industry to industry. People outside finance usually only care about these items if they're causing problems, like customer doesn't pay or lack of funding for attractive investments. We'll first focus on optimizing the described balance sheet items and then examine specific analyses that finance professionals can perform to provide visibility into their development. But first, here's a question for you. What items on the balance sheet are you working with? Some LinkedIn user will also go, oh, that's part of both statement. Yes, it is, I know. So while you think about that, we know it can be a bit complex to come up in the middle of things. I can see we also got a few comments in here. Just says LinkedIn users, so not quite sure exactly who they are, so sorry for that. So I said working capital is basically a metric for the day-to-day operations. Absolutely. We also have, aren't we supposed to look at all the areas from a more holistic perspective? I wonder if this was a trick question. And yes, no, a balance sheet is just one of the areas that we're looking at. I can see we now have Karina up on stage here. Karina, welcome to the stage. Please feel free to share your insights or ask a question.
Thanks, Anders. It's very exciting, got to say, live on stage. I was just, a really quick question was, how important would you say the balance sheet is to a company today?
It's very important. And of course, you can always say, how dramatically do you want to stress the importance? But as I mentioned also earlier, it's through the balance sheet that pretty much everything that happens in the company must pass through before you actually get cash out to either use for other purposes or for distributing to the owners. And obviously, if a company is not good at managing the balance sheet, you're going to have a lot of cash and resources trapped there. That's going to limit growth opportunities for the company and also limit the opportunity to mitigate different risks that may appear. So good balance sheet management is vital to most companies. And we've also seen companies essentially go bankrupt, not because they had a bad business case, but because they didn't manage their balance sheet well. So very important, I would say. But thanks a lot for that great question, Karina. And I hope we see you again here some other time.
Thanks, Anders. Keep up with a good show. Thanks.
Thanks. All right. So if you want to do like Karina, at least now you have seen that it works. I think that's always good. We used to have in the good old audio show days, it was much easier just to raise your hand and come up on stage, and it didn't matter where you were and if you were on a phone and whatnot. So we know that this adds a bit more complexity. But as you can see, it is possible. Let's continue for a little bit here. So how do we drive asset efficiencies? We will view these drivers through a cash flow lens, as this is typically what they optimize for, although return measures also play a role. So looking at investments, the typical investment dynamic is that you have a cash outflow at the beginning, either in one go or throughout constructing assets, for instance. These cash flows are listed in a series, and net present value and internal rate of return to NPV and IRR calculations are made to determine the expected return. Cash flows should be optimized upfront by securing better deals with vendors or banks, for instance, for funding for construction or by contracting early future production, for instance, from the investments. A rigorous follow-up and controlling during the investment's useful life is also critical to ensure returns are optimized. Then we have working capital. This is an often favored way to optimize cash flow in the short term. When companies are challenged, they may adjust their payment terms from 60 to 90 days, for instance. This gives a temporary boost to cash flow. It could also include process optimizations to lower inventory and receivables write-downs. One challenge to remember is that when companies are growing fast, they may have too much cash tied up in working capital and risk going bankrupt, like we just talked about with Karina's question. So even you're running a sound business, this could happen to you. So while working capital automation is perhaps not the most glamorous work we can do, it can be lethal for a company not to have it under control. Finally, we have debt and equity. So debt optimization is an interesting example. Debt was very cheap for over a decade as interest rates were near zero. That meant that corporate debt increased significantly. In the last few years, though, interest rates went back to a relatively normal level from a historical perspective. However, the increase in debt suddenly created a lot of problems for investment-heavy companies. This even hit double hard because equity naturally got more expensive too, so you couldn't just go out and get funding from your investors. So it's important to stay on top of your company's debt leverage, as too much debt can easily make your company feel handcuffed, right? Recently, I was involved in an interesting balance sheet optimization exercise. It involved something as exciting as time registration. The issue was that we weren't too good at registering our hours on projects that would be capitalized. The consequence was that the salary associated with these hours spent was expensed. Normally, the impact would be limited as it's a periodization. However, we would sell half of the project to an investment partner in this specific case. Hence, we would receive cash and profit for the capitalized hours. The potential impact of registering the hours directly was millions of euros. So if you're in a situation like that, make sure you do proper time registration. Here's another question for you. How much time do you actually spend on optimizing the balance sheet? Would be interesting to know as well. Shantanu also here asking both of the questions. Maybe it's because it's coming in from one of the other live streams platforms we're doing. One says, I'm glad to mention NPV to get a more realistic picture. The cash flows are discounted using a discount rate to account for inflation and time value of money. Absolutely. This is something all companies do and is critical for investments. But one thing is to put it all out in an Excel sheet or financial model. Another thing is to actually optimize it to create value, right? Then we have someone asking here, what's the secret spot for optimized debt and equity, if I may ask? I don't think there's a sweet spot, if you can call it like that. But I think what's important is that you don't have too much debt that could limit your opportunities to get more funding. So McKinsey has, of course, done a lot of research into strategy and what drives strategic value creation. And one of the 10 levers that they looked at, saying this has a significant impact on your ability to create value, was your debt to equity ratio. So too much debt simply limits your opportunity to maneuver. So what the right debt to equity ratio is for your company is, of course, difficult to answer. But what you can safely say is there is probably a natural mean for your debt levels. And if you go above this, for instance, because you do an acquisition, you need to spend time and effort bring the debt back down to the normalized level. So I think that would probably be as far as I could provide a definitive answer to that. Also, one sense here that really depends on how much work or amendments are required. Yeah, in terms of optimizing the balance sheet, absolutely. You can probably spend all your time in the balance sheet if you want to reconcile everything down to the T and the I's, the dots above the I's, right? It has to be a priority, of course, but great to bring that up as well. So what can finance professionals do? The good thing about these items is that they are more within our control. However, it doesn't mean we can disregard the impact on the business. For instance, we can't just treat all customers who pay late badly to get our money. They may take that business elsewhere. Sometimes we may want to take that business elsewhere, but often that is not the desirable outcome. Still, it's our responsibility to analyze these items for optimization opportunities. Here are four such examples. The first is business cases. Few companies make significant investments without business cases. However, the business case process is quite weak in many companies. That's at least my experience. And as such, decisions are made on a shaky foundation. Hence, you should consider how to strengthen this process in your company. Moreover, companies are poor at following up on business cases. This is another area you can look to strengthen. Like I said, if you're only doing the financial model when you make the investment and you're not optimizing cash flows throughout the useful life of the investment, you're not following up on the business case, you're not optimizing the balance sheet. Secondly, we have cash conversion ratios. I mentioned a few of these already, and ratios like DSO, days sales outstanding, DPO, days payable outstanding, and DIO, days inventory outstanding, are critical to monitor closely. Ensure you have strong collections and billing procedures, batch your payment runs, and implement a well-functioning inventory management system. Then we have financing structures. There are many ways to secure funding, and they all have their up and downsides. Most companies have a credit line in a bank to fund their operations. Others secure financing for specific investment or acquisition projects. In the startup world, it's common to get equity funding from investors and run new rounds whenever the company is ready for the next development step. It's impossible to say the right structure for your company, as I also just mentioned. But you should have a conscious strategy for financing your business. Finally, we have reprioritizing resources. This is also referred to as capital allocation. McKinsey would argue that up to 20% of your resources should be liquid resources, meaning that they can be reprioritized as and when needed. This ensures that you can grab opportunities as and when they appear and mitigate unforeseen risks. As such, having resources available is a byproduct of doing the above things well, but it's also a management decision to ensure these resources should be available in the first place. This is by no means an extensive list. So like in the previous shows, I asked our good friend ChatGPT to give me a list of analyzers to prepare, and it quickly gave me 10 more. Actually, I should say here that it wasn't as quick as when I asked it to do a P&L analysis. I had to sort a little bit in the things here. So ChatGPT, better for P&L than balance sheet analysis. Interesting enough. We have analyze short-term liquidity, assess ability to cover interest obligations, investigate receivable collection times, analyze the productivity of fixed assets, review the debt repayment schedule, evaluate free cash flow, assess debt maturity and refinancing options, investigate payables, management efficiency, review the return on invested capital, critical measure because it's an essential part of economic profit, so definitely do optimize that one, and evaluate cash flow stability and sustainability. If you should prioritize the time between analyzing the income statement and balance sheet, we always recommend spending time on the income statement. However, balance sheet cannot be ignored. And hopefully, these optimization suggestions and analyses will prove helpful. So here's the final question for you for the day. What other analyses would you suggest that finance professionals perform to increase their asset efficiency? Let's just continue to resources also mean refinancing or debt consolidation. I didn't quite get that aspect. The aim is to free resources for investments. So of course, that can either be your existing resources or it can be getting new funding. Or for instance, if you refinance at, I assume, a lower rate or a shorter maturity, that will free up resources. If you consolidate debt, again, I assume to get a lower rate, that will free up resources as well. So absolutely, this can definitely be seen as part of that. So how do you actually get started on making money on your balance sheet? As I said, no one cares about the balance sheet but you or us as finance professionals. We're not saying you should make them care, but sometimes this is necessary. To make meaningful progress, you must have solid analysis prepared and strong arguments to prove your case. Maybe going back to Ian's comment already from the beginning of today's show. Make sure you link balance sheet drivers to business decisions. This helps show a cause and effect when bringing issues to management attention. Most of these analyses are straightforward, and the challenge often lies in making them relevant to the business. Do that, and you'll have many more people care about the balance sheet or finance. So I think those were the words from today's show. Next week, we have the final article in this series here, where we will talk about future expectations as the final value driver of shareholder value creation. We're also coming towards the end of today's time. I want to thank all the good questions we had in the chat today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the hashtag Finance Master Show. Bye for now, and hope to see you again next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.